The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
You know, light is really a weighty matter. In the Bible, God talks about light in a variety of ways. And one of those ways is through His glory. Well, in English, let me give you an English definition of the word glory. It says, very great praise, honor, or distinction bestowed on common consent. Adoring praise or worshipful thanksgiving. Give glory to God. Resplendent beauty or magnificence. The glory of autumn. A state or great splendor, magnificence, or prosperity. I said, okay, well, that's what the English definition of glory is. And I'm saying, well, I wonder what the difference in majesty is. Because a lot of times glory and majesty go together. And majesty, the definition is, regal, lofty, stately, dignity, imposing character, grandeur, majesty or bearing the... Of bearing, supreme greatness of authority, sovereignty, all paid tribute to the majesty of Rome. A royal personage or royal personages collectively. The royal wedding was attended by the majesties of Europe. So there's a place to start. But in the Bible, what does glory mean? Well, there's one particular word. Actually, there are 11 words that are translated glory in the Bible. But we're going to pretty much stick with one in particular. And the word is, comes from the Hebrew. It's in the Strong's, it's Hebrews 35:19. And the word is kabod. And there are two versions of the word. One is the base or the root that some people say is K and a B and a D. And that word in particular comes from the Hebrew 35:15. And it means weight. And then there's 35:19, which is a K, a B, a V, or a Vav, and a D. And the Vav is used to make an O, pronounce the O. That's where the kabod comes in, or the bod part of the sound. And in a book that I have, it says the Ancient Hebrew Dictionary. And it said kabod at one time in ancient Hebrew. It said it meant armament. And here's what it says. It says in Exodus 16:7, we read, and in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord. That's in the RSV. What is the glory of the Lord? First, we must recognize that glory is something that will be seen. Secondly, the word glory is an abstract word. Okay, one of the things that I read about Hebrew, and I don't know how to make any sense of this. I don't have enough background. But they say Greek deals more in abstract thought, whereas Hebrew deals more in concrete thought. And I don't really understand that, because there's an awful lot of symbolism in the Bible, and symbolism tends to be rather abstract. So why they say that, I don't know, but I guess it's just the it has to do with the meanings of the words. So in any case, what they're saying is glory is an abstract thought, which isn't normally part of the way the Hebrew expresses things. If we look at how this word is paralleled with other words in poetical passages of the Bible, we can discover the original concrete meaning of the word. So if you turn to Psalms 3:3, "But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the one who lifts up my head." And here David is saying, God is a shield, a weapon of war, an armament, and he is my glory. And that's what he is referring to here. The kavod of Elohim is paralleled with his shield. And in Job 29:20, Job's kavod is paralleled with his bow. In Psalm 24:8, we read, "Who is this king of the kavod? The Lord is a strong and mighty in battle." The original concrete meaning of kavod is battle armaments. This meaning of armaments fits with the literal meaning of the root of kavod, which is heavy, which I mentioned was weight. As armaments are heavy weapons and defenses of battle. So, like I said, it's a heavy or weighty matter. That's how God uses it. So we went over the ancient meaning of the word. Well, how does the Bible use glory? Because it's used several different ways in the Bible. The first one is the reputation. It's reputation either for God or for men. Isaiah 42:8. It says, "I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, neither my praise to graven images." So glory has to do with God's reputation, something about God, something important about God, something weighty about God. And he does not want to share that. In 1 Chronicles 29:12, it says, "Both riches and honor come from you. You reign over all. Your hand is power and might." The word honor in this particular case is kavod, and it could have been translated both riches and glory. "In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all." I should mention that kavod is mostly translated glory, and here and there it's translated honor or praise, but for the most part it's translated glory. As far as a person in Genesis 45:13, Moses wrote, and this is what Joseph said, "And you shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt and of all that you have seen, and you shall haste and bring down my father here." So again, the first one is used for reputation, and it can be used for God and man. And God protects his reputation. It can also be used for praise or honor for a reputation or a position. In Joshua 7:19, "And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray you, glory to the Lord, God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what you have done. Hide it not from me." In In 1 Chronicles 16, there are three verses, verses 24, 27, and 28. It says, "Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations." Verse 27, "Glory and honor are in the presence, strength and gladness are in his place." And verse 28, Give unto the Lord, you kindreds of people, give unto him, the Lord, glory and strength." So that was number two, praise, honor, and reputation for his position, or of a position, in this particular case, of our God. And I should also mention, too, it also means as far as making something splendid. Exodus 28:2. "And you shall make holy garments for Aaron your brother for glory and for beauty." In other words, make them stand out. That's definition, or the way I've grouped them, number two. Number three refers to what we talked about with the ancient definition and with the root word. It means substance, weight, brightness, and force. Now, if you remember, in Exodus 33, Moses wanted to see the glory of God. And God told him, well, you can't see my glory, because if you do, my glory will destroy you. So in Exodus 33, turn to verse 18. And he said, "Please show me your glory." Then he said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you." And definitely wasn't Lord. "I will be gracious to him. I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." But he said, "You cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live." And the Lord said, "Here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. So it shall be, while my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand while I pass." So this was something that could be felt, seen. In this particular case, could kill Moses, and God wanted to protect him from it. Exodus 16:10. These are examples of it. "And it came to pass, as Aaron spoke unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness and beheld, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud." So not only did Moses see it, but the people of Israel saw it. And they didn't see it in fullness, because they would have died too, but they got to see an example of God's glory. Something that they could, it was almost tangible. Exodus 24:16, "And the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud." In Exodus 29:43, there is something else about God's glory that was also very special. "And there I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle will be sanctified by my glory." So again, it was something that could be manifest and people could see. Now, what's interesting is, in this period of time, you know, while God was with Israel and they could see him and they could follow him, even though they saw these things, they forgot about him. they still did what they wanted to do. Do we as God people forget about God's glory and do what we want to do? Are we letting God lead us, or do we lead ourselves in another direction? This is all part of glory, because God wants us to live a particular way of life. In the New Testament, there is something that God reveals to us that he doesn't reveal in the Old Testament. The word in the New Testament, the Greek word for the New Testament, is more of the abstract definition and of glory. It comes from the Greek word 1391, and it's doxa. And this is what it says. It has a wide application, literally or figuratively, objectively or subjectively. Dignity, glory, honor, praise, worship. And I believe in some cases it even means opinion. But that's basically the main word used for glory in the New Testament. There are a few other words used, but glory, that particular word, 1391, or it's basically the base, and there might be a couple other words based on 1391 that are translated glory. But most of them come from there. What's revealed in the New Testament that you won't find in the Old Testament is that God will share his glory with his people, with his family. Nowhere else is this truth revealed. But God revealed it through his Son, Jesus Christ. In Romans, turn to Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. So God has a special plan for us, that the glory that he has will be shared with us. In Colossians 3:4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. Just think about this. We get to be born in God's family as literal sons and daughters of God. And we'll be like God, and he will share with us his glory. That light, the fact that we'll be able to be part of this kingdom. God will make us kings and priests, and we will have glory. In 1 Peter 1, verse 6, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you'll be grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than the gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory through the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So there are things that we have to go through in life now and suffer. But these things that we learn as we follow that cloud of glory and not put it aside, God grants us this glory in our next life. In 2 Peter 2, verse 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. God has given us blessings in this life, and he'll continue to give us blessings in our next life, in our eternal life. God has quite a plan for us. In 1 Thessalonians 2:12, Paul says, walk worthy of God who called you unto his kingdom and glory. Do you look forward to this time? This time that we will be sons and daughters, that we'll have the glory of God with us. Remember that weighty matter? Something that will be manifest and can be seen and felt by those that are physical. In 1 Peter 5:4 it says, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away. The earthly glory that we have today, that doesn't compare to what God is going to give us, because as the Bible said, the crown that doesn't fade away. God wants us to seek him, follow him, so that he can give us his glory and bestow that upon us as when we become his children.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.